The Fan on Demand. This is Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
It's the Friday edition, Hockey Central at Noon. Gord Stellick in once again. Darren Millard with our MasterCard Memorial Cup crew. Of course, big weekend coming up there. We'll have it all on Sportsnet. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, of course, we're on Sportsnet 590, the Fan 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet. Didn't you get the casual Friday thing?
Oh.
I'm just NT hockey.
North Toronto hockey.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, it's an unseasonably cold day today, so it's more just throwing that on.
Gord's a coach, eh?
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. GTHLA champion. Minor Adam.
Are you really?
Yeah, it was a fun experience.
Because as a matter of fact, next week I'm speaking at a GTL banquet. What is that?
I'm the MC of it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's nice to be at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm excited about it.
Well, they're excited to have you is what I understand.
Next Wednesday night, yeah.
And you better do better because Nick Kyprios has said that they were lacking a little bit of jam here. Of course, that was phenomenal last night. It looked like they had three chartered accountants that had signed up an auction to get on the panel at the MasterCard Memorial Cup with him.
But the numbers don't lie, and the people have voted with their thumbs, and they're all clicking on at noon. So it's phenomenal numbers all week.
Yeah, see, you guys have carried the
That's not what you said backstage to me.
You've done a nice job. What?
That's not what you said backstage to me.
No, I just said what Kipper said.
Oh, okay.
Kipper doesn't work on Fridays anyway.
Yeah. But you call what he does the other days work?
Well, he grinds pretty good.
Okay.
He's the franchise. He's the Chera of Sportsnet, according to him.
No, but when you say he's Grinder, I think he's the Thornton of it. So he's the Chera.
I'm the Sagan. I just chip one in every once in a while.
So finally, we'll get a good show today. The Sagan. Well, we got a little bit of everything. I take it yesterday.
I'm Jonathan Toews. I'm frustrated.
Yeah, right now. Gosh. You're going to get three minor penalties in a row in the second period. I mean, will last night be the last time we get three games in one day? Do we have anything like...
Probably. I think that's it. Yeah.
So that kind of wealth of hockey and so many places to start, but Boston, New York, and by the end of it all, it's like Brad Richards was kind of an afterthought, except John Tortorella decided post-game-wise to put him back in the forefront a bit. That was...
I can't stand to listen to him. What did he say last night?
Well, he said, you can kiss my derriere if... Yeah.
He can kiss mine, too.
Well, okay, I will kiss neither.
Get that message to the PR department of New York and to him. He can kiss mine as well.
People, when you turn, they think like there's 30 people, like you got your personal handlers. Like just, oh, my God, Doug McLean's personal office there.
That's the studio audience.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That we corral them in here. But let's start with that game about, hey, game, set, match. And really, you can argue the Rangers really only got one real goal, but it was a beauty.
Yeah, it was a beauty, and it started with a great play from Kreider, who's been a fourth-line guy when he's got a chance to dress in New York this year. Let's not forget Kreider had a heck of a playoff run last year, signed at a college, and had a heck of a playoff run for the Rangers last year. This year, spent half the year in the minors, half the year up top, on the fourth line. Yesterday, he gets bumped to the first line, and give credit. Tortorella did it, so you give him credit for that move, puts him up in a line with Steppen and Nash. He makes a play coming out of the zone. Nash then makes a great pass to Kreider, who broke to the net. Hamilton let him go, a young defenseman mistake, but that's fine. The kids make mistakes. Hamilton's a heck of a player. Beautiful goal in overtime, and Nash had to come through. He had an unbelievable chance in overtime to win it for them. And Nasher had to come through, and he did. And that's I was happy for him last night. The Rangers come on late in the game, fluky goals. I mean, have you ever seen a goal like the one on Rask? I mean, we saw Marty Brodeur let in one a couple of years ago in the playoffs.
What decided to go breakdancing.
Well, I mean, the Steve Smith, that was a different type of goal. Yeah. I'm really trying to think. What was the one in Edmonton that they talked about?
Smith put it in.
Yeah, Smith put it in. But the other one, who was the... Swedish goaltender that let the one from I'm trying to remember
that was the Olympics.
I thought I'm trying to remember NHL playoff goal. Has there ever been a stranger goal in the playoffs, Scott?
No, that was a weird one. I mean, Jonathan Quick in the first round when he was stick handling behind the net and got pickpocketed.
That was Rask's second entree.
Yeah, Yeah, well, more Chara than Rask. But no, I mean, he just got his feet tangled and did a flop on the butt and then couldn't reach, couldn't extend the stick to get the
puck. Well, he could have, like Garrett's yelling. Well, he could have, but he tried to do the dancing skates.
It's a lot easier on TV.
Well, I was beside John Garrett, though. He coached me. Well,
we're watching for those on TV right now. He just down he goes.
He goes, put your paddle down. Like, seriously.
For all the goalies I've ever been around, they'll usually stick up for goalies. Well, this happened or that happened or this. It was deflect. Garrett, every goal is a bad goal.
Yeah.
Every goal is a bad goal.
Not the Vancouver ones, though.
No, except for Luongo and Schneider. Yeah, except for those guys. They're all good goals.
And like Scott said, he's already picked Vancouver for first and Toronto for 30th next year, and there's 28 other teams.
No,
so.
No, that's not accurate. But he did not pick Vancouver for first. He picked them to win the cup.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Subtle difference, but down deep, he thinks they'll finish first.
What a strange change.
But that was a strange goal. And then, you know, Stepan stripped Chara behind the net, does the wraparound goal. Early in the third to make it 2-2. And you know, Kreider, as you mentioned, we talked about him yesterday, kind of getting buried. And that's his first goal in 25 games. Yeah. So it was there for a Boston team that over the last few years, despite successes that they've had, have not been a good closeout team. They've allowed series to run deep far too often.
And the frightening part is Lundqvist, and let's not kid ourselves, I mean, Lundqvist's performance in overtime last night was as good a goaltending as you will ever see. He made five or six great saves in that overtime that really gave them a chance to win. He was terrific. So say anything you want about all the coaching moves or all the personnel moves. If it's not for Lundqvist, this series is a blowout.
And Sagan finally scores.
And a beautiful play. I mean, Sagan made... He scored the goal, which was great. He had the first shot. He stayed with it and put the second one in. But he also made the cross seam pass prior to that that really made the play. So he made the play, got the scoring chance, stayed with it, and put it in. It was a great goal and a great puck movement on the power play. That Patrice Bergeron, man, how good a player is this guy? It's just every night he does something spectacular. But anyway, the Bruins now have to go home and try to close it out.
If you're the New York Rangers, after you kiss his butt or whatever you want to do with John Tortorella, do you put Brad Richards back in the lineup?
He doesn't put him back in. This is you know, now that he's made the decision to take him out, and then they win the game, he's got to stay with it. He's got to stay with it. I don't think there'll be any consideration to putting him back in. For Brad's sake, I'd like to see it happen. For Pat Morris's sake, I'd like to see it happen more because he may have a nervous breakdown over this, Pat Morris. I mean, I may have to get him into therapy. Kidding, Pat. We're kidding, but I'm worried about Pat more than I am Brad.
Why?
Well, he got eight of his Pat. $12 million. All will be fine.
There won't be any tag days for Pat.
Well, there's the commissions way, going forward. The buyouts affect agents tremendously, eh?
I know, but he
it just delays the income. That's all.
No, it doesn't delay it. They lose... Well, on the amnesty, do they get their full money?
They get the full money. Yes. It's just spread out over twice the length.
So, yeah.
So you feel better about Pat now?
Yeah, I feel better about Pat
now.
Okay, good.
It's his retirement fund.
I've given him a couple of those.
Yes. But I agree with Doug. He doesn't change. I mean, if they lose, it's summer last night. And if they win, he can stick with that roster and he looks like a genius.
You know, it kind of showed Game 7 for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. Again, to go back to it, that once the Bruins screwed up, okay, like they did last night, they did put that pressure on again. But once you get excellent goaltending or find a way to win, I mean, it still can be done. And I think that was the difference that, I mean, the Rangers had no business winning the game.
You know what's amazing is you look at, and this is what the most frustrating thing is for Dave Nonis and the coaching staff and the players, is that if they got by Boston, a lot of ifs, they would have beaten the Rangers. The Leafs would have beaten the Rangers. With the Leafs... ability to score. And with their guys like the Kessel, Van Riemsdyk, Lupel guys and Kadri, who are game breakers, whether people like them or not, they're game breakers, and they've scored a lot of big goals this year, they would have beaten the Rangers.
Yeah, I know.
And Boston are saying that, you know, Toronto, well, quietly are saying at this point, but Toronto was a tougher opponent because of the physicality as well. They pushed back and they hit back, and I think Toronto, Boston, would have had an edge in that department.
Which is,
ifs and buts and candies and nuts.
And that's a surprise, isn't it? Because the Rangers, I mean, what are they if they're not a hard-working, banging team? Because it's certainly
shot
not.
Shot blockers.
Well, are they anymore? It looks like they got together in the summer, decided, you know something, we get paid the same money whether we block all these shots or not. I mean, that's one big difference I noticed. Last year was a little bit, was a little bit ridiculous in a good way, but not
you know
the
what?
Same.
Broussard has helped their team. He's given them a second line. Like last night, he comes up with a couple of assists. And, you know, he's helped their team, give them a little more playmaking ability. Stepan hasn't been as good, but is a good player. Callahan's a good player. Nash, obviously, is a good player. There's enough skill there that they should be a better scoring chance type of team than they are. You know,
I want to touch, of course, later on, Adrian Dater's going to join us. We'll talk about what's going on in Colorado. Patrick Roy joining the Avalanche front office, to say the least. Chicago-Detroit game last night. And, Scott, you mentioned you're Jonathan Toews, so you would be very frustrated. You would be a lot of things. I did think at the end of the game, I liked the way he spoke at the end of the game, because I thought he's been lacking a lot of, I don't know, emotion, fire. I don't know whatever you want to call it, but had a lot of common sense just about it's been a game of emotion about the officials, about himself, and really understanding that he's got to try to get that part away. And he wasn't blaming the officials at all, but, man, it's almost like when you saw Seabrook skate over to the bench have the penalty with box door open to kind of say, guy, we need you on the ice. And even that didn't do a lot.
No, I mean, he was incredibly frustrated. Three penalties. And, you know, good on Seabrook for going over and giving him the pep talk or whatever he had to say. Because, yeah, you're a captain, you're a leader. You've got to keep your head in the game, and you can't be despondent and pouting or whatever the emotion was at that point. But what a performance, I thought, by the Detroit Red Wings last night. They just suffocated. I mean, Chicago had times where they created chances, and Jimmy Howard was great. But for the better part of that game, Doug, I thought they just suffocated them.
Well, it's hard to believe when you list off the Detroit players: Zetterberg, Bruner, Datsyuk, Cleary, Franson, Philpula, Nyquist. That group has so outplayed the top guys of the Chicago Blackhawks, it's unbelievable. And you really think about that list. Bruner, young guy, come out of nowhere. Nyquist, a later round pick. Joachim Andersen, abdicator. I mean, these guys have dominated. Abdicator last night was terrific. Physical play, goes to the net on the goal, draws penalties, physically pounds people, flies. He's 220 pounds. He's come out, you know, he's a second round pick out of Michigan State. I mean, he's a good player, but Cleary, what a playoff performer he's become. And then you compare them to the Blackhawks, and you say, well, you know, Patrick Sharp's got six goals. He's been invisible in this series, and we love Patrick Sharp, but he hasn't played well. Kane, did you notice Kane last night in that game?
No.
Hard to find. You know?
Notice Toews more for better things than Kane, and notice Toews more for negative things.
And then you look at Jonathan Toews, and it's hard to believe he's got zero goals. Zero goals. Yeah. This guy, and
Hossa's been sporadic.
Right. I mean, they For Toews, to me, who is, if he's not my favorite player in the NHL, when you take Crosby out, he is my favorite. I love this guy, the way he plays. And I think he's a tremendous leader player. He's still a kid. This is a real growing experience for this guy. And he's gotta find a way. The coaches have got to work with him. They've got to get him on target here and on task, because he alone can make the difference in this game and extending this series. And they've got to find a way to get this guy going and talk him through what he's going through. He's still 24, 25 years of age, you know? He's that important to this hockey team. He's the glue. And when Seabrook's got to go to the penalty box and calm him down, it's not good.
And the first time that team's lost three games this season. So,
or been shut out.
A new version.
Shut
of
out.
Adversity. Well,
yeah.
Two goals in the last nine periods.
Yeah.
Well, and Toews, when he had a chance to shoot late, he didn't. Mm. And then you also had, I thought late too, you saw Keith try to do it himself, right? Yeah. They got away from during the season when they had those three-way, four-way, five-way passing plays.
Seabrook is an issue. Like, he didn't play a lot. I mean, it seems to me he might have played 12 minutes last night.
Yeah.
So he was
assuming
on.
Assuming he's hurt.
He was on killing penalties. So there is there's obviously something wrong. He's out there killing penalties, but he's injured, obviously, and he's a big loss. He's a big loss to this hockey team, if he is.
Yeah, we'll pick up on that game. We'll talk about what went on the West Coast as well. Are you worried about Toews' agent, too, or are we okay?
I don't know who his agent is.
We'll find out. We'll get that.
No, I'm not worried about his agent because he's got a long, he's got another 10, 12 years. He's fine.
We'll come back. The second period of Hockey Central at noon is up next. Gord Stelick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, you're listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet.
Featherlite is the number one ladder used by the pros, and here's why. Featherlite knows that you depend on your ladder to be safe and to perform properly whether on the job or at home. So they constantly strive to improve the utility and safety of their ladders, not only to meet but exceed industry standards. Featherlite has been building trust into every ladder it makes for over 60 years. No wonder the pros recommend them. The pros know, and Canadian pros pick Featherlite ladders. Safer, tougher, Canadian since 1949.
Blue Jays versus Orioles. Tonight at 7. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Back with the second period. Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stelick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, or The Fan 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet. Chicago-Detroit. I want to maybe touch on that a little bit as we look at what could be, I guess, a pretty big upset. I mean, for a lot of people, are we getting a renewed appreciation of the Detroit Red Wings, or is this what they really are, or is this a big upset?
Well, we're not seeing the best of Chicago, and you think that one guy that has always been a real important player for the Chicago Blackhawks this time of year is Dave Boland. Really valuable guy, whether he's on the second line or third line, a guy that was a shutdown guy, a guy that would go against the other team's top guys, drive them crazy. He's been a non-factor. He came into this series injured. He's only played 4 playoff games, 0 points. I got to believe he's still banged up and injured and can't play his typical game. So he's that little things like that throw you off at this time of year when they're real important playoff-type guys and a heart and soul guy like Boland is. And you got to give Detroit credit. Some of these, they're These guys like Nyquist and Anderson and Abdicator and like Erickson was a fifth defenseman for the last couple of years. They didn't know what he was going to become. They liked him, but they weren't sure. Now he's a number two guy. Now he and Cronville are their best pair. And they've just come on, and you got to credit everybody in Detroit for the way they've played. They're following their system to a T, but it's all about grinding and working and taking the body and paying a price. That's what they're doing.
You know? You talk to people, watch that series closely, and it's the physical aspect of Detroit. And we talked to Mike Babcock about that the other day, that this is a young, enthusiastic group by and large that have been taking the body. And I think the other part of it is people say that they've really done a great job of clogging the middle of the ice. I mean, Chicago's a great skating team, puck movement, move the puck up the ice quickly, and they've taken a lot of those lanes away from them. And we saw them last night trying to throw long bombs, those long bomb lobs up the ice to try and break it, get over it and get through it. So I think, you know, Detroit's a well-coached team that are well-prepared for the opposition. And as we talked about before, not just Jonathan Toews, but a lot of Chicago players have been getting very, very frustrated.
And I think you've got to, you know, Nick Lidstrom was a great captain there. Not a verbal guy, a quiet guy that did his let the play happen on the ice. And I'll tell you, his replacement, the way Henrik Zetterberg has played in this series and the way he played in the Anaheim series, you really appreciate Zetterberg as a player ever since he's been in the NHL. But the appreciation for him this playoff series has gone to a whole nother level for me. The way he has dominated Toews, physically dominated him. This is Henrik Zetterberg physically dominating Jonathan Toews at this point. It boggles my mind. I mean, you know he's a talent, but have you ever seen him physically sort of dominate the way he has? And he and Datsyuk, how they've set the tone for these young guys. And imagine if you're Nyquist, or if you're Abdicator, or if you're any of these, the Emerton, the young kids in this hockey team, and you're watching Datsyuk and Zetterberg, the way they're performing, and Cronville, the way those three guys are performing, you're just Cleary. How can you not go through the wall? How can you not follow the game plan to a T when you watch what these guys do?
And Jimmy Howard's been great as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
When he's had to be, he's been tremendous. You know, and the one thing I would say for Chicago, but you know, you make your breaks, and Joel Quenneville said that. you know, teams get lucky because they work hard and they do good things, but they've been very unlucky. They've hit posts at inopportune times. They had a disallowed goal the other night. But having said that, Detroit's done a wonderful job.
And I think that Chicago can come back. If Chicago win the next game, which I think they will, I think you got a heck of a series to finish. And interesting, John Shannon made an interesting point on Hockey Central tonight last night. This is Kenny Holland again adapting. Jimmy, he's never paid a goaltender. Hasek is the only goaltender he really paid. Remember, Osgood was there, and he always
Curtis Joseph.
And I remember talking to Kenny about it. He that position was $1.5 to $2 million position, and it allowed him the flexibility to pay the big guys. And then he had to step out and pay Howard. And that's a belief in a guy that's going to become a star. Kenny would not have done that deal if he didn't think this guy was going to take a major step, and he has. And you heard Babcock talk about the character of a Jimmy Howard.
Well, I mentioned the Curtis Joseph signing, right? I mean, was that a lesson on why you don't do it for the Red
Bulls? Well, Hasek and Joseph.
Yeah, the two of them won a Stanley Cup for them. Right.
But he talked about his philosophy is that you can build the parts in front to make the goalie not as key a component.
Right.
Yeah. When you're so, and you look you look at the defense that they had in Detroit for those so many years, led by Lidstrom. And then, obviously, their forwards have always been great two-way forwards, Datsyuk and Zetterberg leading that way. But, as Doug said, changing with the times and realizing now as the game has evolved and gotten different that the goalies are a much more integral part.
Big time.
Well, we look at, and you talk about Chicago, it's the ability to try to come back three games, having to win three in a row. I got to tell you, last night we were watching after we did our work here at Sportsnet, and I don't know how many hard hits there were in the first 2 minutes of the Sharks-LA King game. And the Sharks hung in there okay for a while, but it really was the LA Kings kind of saying, we're back on our turf. And I wonder how, if the Sharks can win two games, never mind the Blackhawks win three against Detroit. That was just impressive about, we really haven't lost anybody from last year. We haven't lost a step. We understand what you have to do and pay the price to win a Stanley Cup. And that was a 3-0 win, but that could have been a lot more.
Hey, Chris Cuthbert and Ray Ferraro made a comment halfway through the second period that blew me away. It blew me away. I missed the first period because I was just we're finishing up the other games. So I get home and I turn it on. I'm watching the second period and Ray and Chris make a comment that the San Jose Sharks at the 30-minute mark did not have a scoring chance in that hockey game. The first 30 minutes they didn't have one scoring chance, and you're in a 2-2 series. Are you kidding me? And then and then they come on, obviously, and played pretty well the second half of the game. But we've seen that in L.A. I mean, L.A. didn't show up for game four in San Jose till halfway through the game. It's been a weird series with teams not showing up partway through the games. But not to get a scoring chance for the first 30 minutes, and then Quick had to be real good. Mm-hmm. But it's a tough series. I've got L.A. winning it, and I'm hoping they win it because if L.A. blow this series, I'm not going to be 500 in my picks this round, and I'm not happy about that.
Anyway, it's been a homer series, so they're going back to San Jose, and that's been a tough building for visiting teams this year, and they play with a lot. And remember back to the previous game is that San Jose was pretty dominant for the first 30 minutes of that game as well. Totally dominant. So we'll see how it plays out, but it was, you know, when the big boys show up in L.A. and they flex the muscle, they are a fabulous team to watch.
How do you tell when Doug McClain's happy or not happy? What's the difference? Like, if you're not going to be happy with your picks, happy right now?
I don't like to be a 500.
Okay.
I mean, I would have liked to have been as a general manager.
Are you okay with finishing eighth and getting in the playoffs?
Totally. Okay. Oh, no. Jeez, I would have been. I would have done handstands for
you
eight.
Wouldn't be here right now.
Sorry, what's your point? I interrupted you.
My point was putting Clifford on the big line with Kopitar. And Williams, and moving Brown down the lineup is a shocker. And to hear Kopitar talk about it, Kopitar gets his first goal in 25 games or something last night, and it was a tap in at the net. Great position. He got there and was there late in the period, but Clifford moves to the first line. It's kind of a bizarre. That's coaching in the playoffs. Yeah. Those are, you know, it's like Bickle moves up with Kane and Taves. They break up. Joel mixed up all his lines last night. You know, so it's the time of year where coaching can be a difference maker. Regular season, I'm not buying it as much, but in the playoffs, they can be difference makers.
Well, coaching's been interesting with Paul McLean and captaincy with Daniel Alfredsson. as we talk about the Ottawa Senators, they've got to run the table as well. They face the same task that the Boston Bruins face. Cool. They face the same task that the Chicago Blackhawks face. So tonight, and after Daniel Alfredson's clarifications yesterday, does it let it slide, particularly given who he is?
I'm giving him a mulligan because of what he's done for the franchise and what a great leader he is. And
are his teammates giving him one?
I think his teammates to a man would give him one. I think it's a non-issue. It was a bizarre comment. I've never heard a captain or a player in all my time around hockey say something like that. It was a strange comment to make. It was a spur of the moment. Bizarre, but I'm giving him a mulligan.
Well, he said it was taken
out of context. Imagine if Phaneuf said that. Imagine if Dion Phaneuf said that. What would happen in Toronto and across Canada?
Well, the one thing I was going to say is that, you know,
he didn't answer my question.
Oh, they all hell would break loose.
What would they do?
But I think some people,
question.
Some people took the quote and put the period here when the period could have gone here, because he did continue in his comment to say, but we're going to give it a hell of an effort. This thing isn't over. We're not quitting.
Yeah, true, true.
So, you know, when you edit it down and you get the sound bite's damning. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the complete thought, it's not quite as bad.
That's a great point.
He always talks in a pleasant monotone as well.
And he's such a guy to always stand up. He's such a stand-up guy. And, you know what, it didn't really faze me. But then when I listened to it again, I thought, oh, man, that is just a bit. I could care less. I still think he's one of the best leaders in the game.
You know, it's funny. You know? Just that very point.
He'll be the best player on the ice tonight for Ottawa.
And I'm going back not to the 80s, but to the 90s. Mm-hmm. And Leaf broadcast. And actually, that's where you cut your teeth. Stop the presses. Scott Morrison had a great intermission segment on Leaf games.
We should do a history segment in this show.
And I was doing a little bit. This is, you know.
Look back, it's called.
Big markets like Toronto.
This day in 1980.
So anyway, we're doing it. And I'm doing the hosting.
Wake me up when this is over.
Job. Don't worry. You'll be on the edge of your seat. Which subsequently, Paul Hendrick became the guy, because you can see hosting wasn't my deal.
No, totally.
And you remind me every day, it's still not my deal. So you're at the end of the game, Leafs have lost to Ottawa, and now they got people, the handlers that set it up, they call the PR department. So you never approach players directly, right? But back then, it's like, can you get someone post-game? And now you can't get a Leaf because they've lost to Maple Leaf Gardens. And you're standing by the Ottawa dressing room, and they're counting you down. You got nobody. And walking with the skates after being one of the three stars is Daniel Alfredson, mm-hmm. who I have no connection with. And you ask him, can you join me? Whatever. And he joins you in 2 seconds time.
Yeah.
You do your hit. And for guys in the business, right, Scott, you always remember those types of things. Not that he sucked up to you, more just being professional mm-hmm. and the kind of guy he was. And mm-hmm. it was like his second or third or fourth year in the league.
That's why we're all giving him the mulligan.
I thought you were asleep.
Well, it was a great story.
I know, it was.
It was a hell of a story.
It's going to make the best
of
show.
Save those for the commercial breaks.
It's wasted. I should have him when Kipper's here. I know, whatever.
Listen.
No, he's been a class act. He's been a class act all his career.
He's been a total class act. And you know what? It's at a context. He makes a comment, but I'm just telling you, if it would have been Dion, he would never live it down.
That would have been
difference.
A lot of guys.
A lot of captains.
A lot of guys. Right. It was because actually, even Alfredson the other night where...
Imagine if P.K. Subban said that in Montreal.
Oh, I know.
You know, seriously.
I know. But you know, even the other night when he got whacked by Sidney Crosby, and you thought, you got a fair chance to punch Sidney Crosby right in his broken jaw, and Letang comes in, and Daniel Alfredson starts telling him why, like almost like a peace accord. Mm-hmm. No, I whacked the goaltender because it was, you know, he just seems to deal in a logical way, right?
Like when he shot the puck at somebody after the end of the period.
Except one or two instances. Adrian Dater.
We all have our warts.
We all do. That's for sure. Adrian Dater, we'll talk about that. Patrick Roy been hired to hopefully cure many of those for the Colorado Avalanche. We'll also talk a little bit more of the NHL. You know, one quick one. Is this thing... getting any legs about Don Fehr meeting with the agents and saying there's going to be no fighting, or they're looking at no fighting in the next 10 years in the National Hockey League? Is it getting any legs at all? Is it just kind of going to lie there? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back, because it seemed like a big story.
That's a great hook, they call it.
My story was about Daniel Alfredson as people going, wow, I hope Doug lets Gord wax poetic about the good old days with Scott and Gord, but we'll see how that happens. Third period coming up. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison. Doug McClain, the star of the show. It's Hockey Central at noon. You're listening on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, Sportsnet, the Fan 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet.
Featherlite is the number one ladder used by the pros, and here's why. Featherlite knows that you depend on your ladder to be safe and to perform properly, whether on the job or at home. So they constantly strive to improve the utility and safety of their ladders, not only to meet but exceed industry standards. Featherlite has been building trust into every ladder it makes for over 60 years. No wonder the pros recommend them. The pros know, and Canadian pros pick Featherlite ladders. Safer, tougher, Canadian since 1949.
Tim and Sid, today at 1. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to the third and final period for the week of Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McClain.
You back here next week?
I'm back for one day next week. Are you excited?
Super. No, it's been great spending some quality time with you. I know you're used to Natras, and I know it's tough to fill the shoes, but it's been
fun. You've come close. No, it has been good. Well, you coach Natras, didn't you?
I was on the coaching staff when he played for us.
To say you coach
Rick Natras would not be an accurate comment.
He knew
he knew more than I did, the same as he knows now when you listen to him as an analyst.
Good student.
He knows
game.
His stuff.
That's
he knows
for
his.
Sure.
It's really interesting, though. You watch a game with Rick Natras, and he's a student of the game.
Yeah.
He is a student of the game. He picks out, like, I was really, you know, we watch games because we have four of them on at a time, but Nats, when he focuses in the game, he picks out a ton of stuff. He's a hockey guy.
Yeah. You know? I kid about doing the radio. I said, you need a teleprompter in your car or a telestrator just about it.
I have to say, when I was with him in the late 80s in St. Louis, he wasn't as serious about the game as he is. If he would have been as serious about the game when he played as he is as an analyst, he would have probably had a longer, and he did have a great career, but it could have been a few years longer.
Solid,
you know what I'm saying, Rick?
Anyway, I'll be working with him tomorrow. I'll be back at him with tomorrow on Sportsnet, the Fan 590 from
sure
5
he's
to
listening.
7 p.m. He always listens. And we want to listen to the Colorado word because this is a guy on top of the NHL scene, the Colorado Avalanche scene as well, with all that's going on. With
great friend of mine from the press box days in Columbus.
Well, there we go. Adrian Dater from the Denver Post. Welcome. Adrian, are you a great friend of Doug's from the Columbus press box days? Is that true?
Well, it depends on how you define friend, I guess. I'm still embarrassed I didn't pick Pascal Leclerc as a star one night. That's an inside joke.
Well, he only had 60 saves.
And I didn't pick him as a star. I remember him coming up to me, did you watch the game?
Well,
what the hell were you doing picking the stars anyway?
Well, what the hell were you doing going after him for picking your general manager?
When you don't win games, you got to go after somebody.
Players read those, though, right, Doug? I mean, first thing they do is look down at the stars.
Totally.
Or other plus minus than the stars.
Totally. Right? So all the players thought you were an idiot, too, not just me.
Well, I was.
Not the Colorado players, though. It's immense pressure.
I hate picking the stars. That's one thing I
you were bad at it.
This is great. So nice promo by Doug McClain that we're bringing an idiot on to help us.
No, that's not.
And
right.
One of the
great
guys we asked to come on, we're calling him an idiot as well.
I enjoy Adrian, and I enjoy reading his stuff. I very much
do. I wish I got to know Doug a little better over the years, but
don't worry, not a big deal.
I like Doug's kind of guy, I'm glad to be on with you.
Okay, well, before I let them jump in, let's just talk about this, how it played out. Patrick Waugh, and, you know, when you got a sense about it happening, why it happened, and do you believe it's the right fit?
Well, I think it's the right fit. I mean, you know, a lot of people made the look pretty foolish betting against Patrick Waugh in his life, and, you know, the guy... This isn't a guy who just came off the golf course after a few years of retirement and boredom and said, I think I'll try coaching now. That sounds like fun. This is a guy who rode the buses in junior. Granted, it was a pretty nice bus from what I hear with his money. But he rode the buses in junior, and he's got his hands dirty with learning the game from the ground up and that whole part of the business. And, you know, he put in 8 years of coaching there. And, I think he's I think he's ready. I mean, if he, I don't see how he can pin the tag on him of he doesn't deserve it. He didn't. He's not ready. He didn't pay his dues. He paid his dues just like all the other guys who started in junior.
You know what I love? Sorry, Adrian.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I love about it is that this guy was a superstar. And I'll never forget, I was in Columbus, and I get a call from Patrick Waugh, and I couldn't figure, and he said, Doug, it hasn't been announced, but I'm retiring, and I'm going to the Ramparts, and he was talking to me about a player. And I'm thinking, this guy is still with the, he hadn't announced his retirement. That's how passionate he was about getting into the game. And you hit the nail on the head. This is a guy, a superstar, one of the greatest goaltenders of all time, paid his dues. He went to the Quebec League. He won a Memorial Cup. He's had a contender every year, and he has paid his dues as much as anybody does, or most people do, in coaching. And I think it's an unbelievable fit, and I think he deserves a chance, and anybody that criticizes is a knucklehead.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I'm not going to criticize. Adrian, how does it work?
Except for one of my bosses, Scott Morrison. Yeah, exactly. He can say what he wants.
The other half of the title, VP of Hockey Operations, how does that work with respect to Joe Sakic and Greg Sherman?
Well, it's a little vague still what Waugh's duties will be on that. I mean, I'm sure it's just to consult with the other guys and give his input. But Joe Sakic does have the final say on hockey personnel decisions. That has been confirmed to me, and Joe makes the final call. Greg Sherman is kind of the numbers guy now, the cap guy, the guru, cap guru, right? You know, I think he'll have a say, but I don't think it's going to carry much weight now with personnel decisions. So Patrick, you know, has that title though, and I guess he has a very good input on things. He won't just be a coach being told, to go out and just roll lines. He'll have a say on the kind of players he wants too. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out because, what if Patrick wants one guy and Joe doesn't do it or they disagree? What will happen then? It will be a little interesting to see how that plays out. But I don't think I don't see those two clashing and having big disagreements at all. I think they're friends and they'll work it out.
I think that Sherman becomes a valuable guy here. And I, you know, because here's what you've got two real hockey guys. You've got Joe, who is the ultimate boss, and if there's a disagreement, he'll have the say. But like you said, he and Patrick have tremendous respect for each other. You always, when you're a hockey guys, you can work that out if there's a mutual respect there. It's not like somebody coming in that Joe doesn't know and Patrick, you know, to me, they can work those out. But Sherman becomes a valuable guy here because he is going to be, you need a guy in the office that is the numbers guy, but is the paper guy, and also is a support guy for these guys. So I think it's a good fit. And I don't think it's that different than a John Davidson, a Jarmo Kukulainen, and some of these, you know, this BS presidency stuff that is out there now, you know? Kevin Lowe, I mean, it's not unique in Colorado. It's all over the league.
Yeah, and it seems to be happening in other sports, too. I mean, I know in Denver they use the example of John Elway a lot as the team president. He's not the GM. He's not the owner. But he kind of makes the calls on personnel now, even though his title is only president. And I think that gets mentioned a lot here anyway. But, it seems like that's a brand-new title now in hockey, isn't it? Team president carries so much weight, whereas before, you know, you always – it was always just some sort of old retired guy kind of who just sat around and had a nice honorary title like that.
What, team presidents are usually old retired guys? No. Is that right, Doug?
No, but here's what it is. It's like somebody tell me, and I asked John Davidson this, what's the president of hockey operations versus the GM? Well, what it is the president of hockey operations is the real GM, and the GM is the assistant GM, if the truth was known, except they don't have the title, and the press can deal with the GM on a daily basis, and the president of hockey operations, i.e. Kevin Lowe and John Davidson and all these guys are off the hook until there's majors. They're insulated, and they're smart. If you can get away with it, you're a genius. I wanted to be president of hockey operations, but I couldn't get that gig and have a GM underneath me to take all the heat.
That's because you were GM and coach at the same time.
And president.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the same price. Anyway, right. It's fun.
It sounds like a title out of Catch 22 or something. Major, the character there, where the Department of Redundancy Department. Anyway.
Well, you know what? It's not redundant about who they're going to select first overall. And I'm curious if Patrick Waugh might have some influence, I mean, at all, because he'd be tight with those junior players or know them anyway. And then we always know the Seth Jones story that way. And do you think they're set on one particular guy? Who might it be? Or might they still be open to discussion?
Well, Rick Tracy, the chief scout, says it's still open. I mean, I don't know if I'm being spun there or not.
Yeah, but you're being spun. You're being spun.
That's what I thought. I think they're going to take Seth Jones. I mean, that is the kind of guy they absolutely need here. And he's played well in this Memorial Cup tournament. I know Nathan MacKinnon got a hat trick against Portland in the first game, but, you know, Jones still played well in that game. I think he was even in the game, had a goal. And it will be interesting, though, because Waugh has seen MacKinnon and Drouin play a lot. So, I can't imagine him saying, letting that influence his decision just because he's seen him more. All indications are it's got to be Seth Jones. I mean, you know, you got this number one defenseman. You know, you hear occasionally, though, that he makes some bad reads in the D zone, or he's not physical enough. You know, sometimes you get a little nervous with the number one pick. I mean, is he going to be another Eric Johnson or something? No disrespect to Eric, but, I mean, as the number one pick.
That's what they said about Eric. That's what they said about Nick Lidstrom, too. I remember his scouting reports.
Yeah.
And he was too small, too. He was way too small to be a good player in the NHL.
But he wasn't a first-rounder.
But is there a better coaching situation to go into, Adrian, and you're close to the scene, than a head coach of the Colorado Avalanche now with Joe Sakic in place as the VP of hockey operations? And with the likes of Landeskog, Duchesne, O'Reilly, Eric Johnson, is this not a real good young group? And you're in third. I mean, for Patrick, is this not an unbelievable great situation? Because you got nowhere to go but up.
Oh, absolutely it is. And now you throw in a number one pick, and then they got the 32nd pick. That's going to be, that could be a good player. Yes, it is a good situation. And Patrick has always been known for one thing well, and that's good timing. He seems to come into situations at the right time. He did that here as a player. What about the goaltending, though? That's what I'm worried about. Let's say they get the defense shoring up, they get a Seth Jones, it's going to look better. They got some young kids, Tyson Barrie and Elliott, looking better. What about Semyon Varlamov, though, as the number one goalie? What kind of pressure is he going to feel being the goalie of the Avalanche?
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest goalie of all time, an Avalanche legend with his number retired right above the rafters where he's playing.
Lots of fodder to talk about. Adrian, look forward to talking down the road. Sorry, we got to run. Thanks very much
for
joining
Adrian.
Us. Adrian Dater, Denver Post.
Star picker.
If Doug hadn't done that, we could have chatted with him longer.
Birthday weekend, Gordo.
That's right. It's right. You remembered.
Yeah, my Gordy's birthday on Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
There's no secret party or anything like that. Don't worry, Doug.
Congratulations.
Maybe a surprise
party.
Well,
people don't know we're friends, so I wouldn't get invited if it was secret.
Be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Don't forget the MasterCard Memorial Cup here on Sportsnet. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, my new best friend, Doug McLean. You've been listening, watching Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, the Fan 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet.